This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Indeed, all you need to know around COVID-19, and we now get into a conversation around which sectors really have been the hardest hit, or rather who has been the hardest hit. I mean, I speak for myself in saying I am definitely feeling the pinch of lockdown as well as the economic effects thereof, and I'm sure you are as a Power listener as well. We are joined on the line now by Dr. Channing Arndt, who's the Director of Environment and Production Technology Division at the International Food Policy Research Institute. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you for having me.
A very interesting piece that has been put together based on the research that has been located. Why do we ask who has been the hardest hit? When we talk about a global pandemic, you would think that almost everyone is affected.
That's right. Definitely everybody is affected. With any shock to the economy, some people will be more affected than others. And also, we want to be aware that some people are less able to withstand shocks, or their, you know, their life prospects are changed in a more dramatic way. So there is, of course, a difference between, you know, not being able to go to a restaurant for dinner, which is one thing, and not being able to afford enough food to eat, which is another. And so that's why there's a lot of interest in the distributional implications.
And those are the two extremes, Dr. Arndt, that we live with here in South Africa. And that's not only when it comes to inequality that has been brought by COVID-19. It's actually been exacerbated and more blatant in terms of our viewing. But this is seemingly everyday life in South Africa and other African continents. And I'm interested in finding out, when you look at the global figures, it was expected that Africa would be the hardest hit. But the difference then becomes how Africa as a continent and governments within the African continent deal decisively and directly with the impact of COVID-19 on the less disadvantaged. At this point, where are we in that trajectory?
South Africa is relatively well positioned compared with other countries in Africa, in that there are fairly well established programs for transfers, government transfers to lower income households, as well as unemployment insurance programs. And so when the lockdowns hit and the implications of COVID-19 became clear, these existing programs became very important as support to lower income workers. And it would have been extremely difficult to set up programs of this sort, you know, just after the pandemic hit. And so countries such as, for example, lots of other countries in Africa just don't have these kinds of programs. And so therefore, they're less able to provide the kinds of shock absorbers that you've been able to do in South Africa.
We generally use the superpowers, the likes of the US as well as China, to look at test case as to how those countries deal with the significant magnitude of a crisis such as this one. And I'm also trying to find out from you, in the US, in terms of government's response, has it been as speedy in a sense that it covers and it accommodates every other citizen within the context of its economy? And I ask this question solely around the mere fact that in the US there's social relief generally that other countries do not meet out. Where in terms of a poll would you say that the US is championing the fight and the response where COVID-19 is concerned, in terms of getting to a level of post COVID-19 that the economy is stable?
The U.S. has been quite active in putting forward measures to combat the economic impacts of COVID-19. COVID-19 is not the same as a normal economic recession. the regress in economic activity or the slowdown is really part of the point. Mm-hmm. The idea is to, you know, have fewer people going to restaurants and less service work, less work in manufacturing floors, and so forth in order to slow down the pandemic. So, you know, as a result of this, the U.S. response, and I think partly also South Africa, been thinking about this as well, is not to really push demand, push people out, but to allow them to try to facilitate both businesses and people, employees, households, to be able to stay at home with some degree of comfort, and then hope that they're able to restart again once the pandemic comes under greater control. The U.S. has not been as successful as some countries at controlling the total magnitude of the pandemic, but nevertheless, kind of like South Africa, there's a big push to open up because the economic impacts of the lockdown measures are so large, and people just find it difficult to support that for a very long period of time.
What do you make of that move in terms of governments really being pushed and forced to reopening business activity based on the economic effects of the global pandemic that is COVID-19? We are seeing it here in South Africa. The yes, lockdown policies have relatively been stringent, but in level 3, we are seeing more businesses open, and we are moving at a pace that we actually thought would be far slower. And the push where government is now backed into a corner to say we cannot carry on in this manner. Where are the pros and cons of doing this when we think of social distancing, and also thinking about those who are less advantaged, or those who are in disadvantaged communities? They would want to be returning to work, but at the same time, the social issue of whether prevention is going to be at its highest peak is still a concern.
Absolutely. I don't think there are any really easy answers here, particularly in developing country settings and in the low income settings, where it's one thing to say to shelter in place in your house if you have a larger house, and you can stay inside it with a relatively small number of people, and you can achieve some kind of social distancing and separation. But if you're in a very crowded urban setting, low income urban setting, then that becomes very, very difficult to actually achieve. And at the same time, when you try to impose these lockdowns, the economic implications are quite large. I think that the government of South Africa has done a pretty good job of putting in place some lockdowns to slow the spread of the disease, and that has definitely happened. But it's very, very difficult to maintain those policies for very extended periods of time, and as a consequence, we're seeing some loosening of that. And really, it's all about managing the spread of the disease such that it doesn't come on too fast all at once and cause a whole nother round and range of problems.
Looking into the future then, not that we have crystal balls, but what should be done to navigate further these economic effects of the global COVID-19?
Well, I think we do need a greater linkage between what the epidemiologists are telling us and what what economists like myself might say in terms of where do we get the most gain possible from a specific health measure? And what we want is a lot of gain from that health measure at a low cost to the economy, to jobs, to the ability of people to bring in incomes and meet their needs. So that's a real challenge that's in place right now, and that's I think what those stages of lockdown are all about. I suspect that you're going to be seeing advances of the pandemic in certain areas. And so there's going to have to be a fairly varied response at first it was national, but it may become more regional with time. That also requires that there's this as good as possible information about what's happening with the pandemic, such that you can react appropriately and try to keep as much open as possible as you go forward.
The greatest economic lessons that COVID-19 may have brought, in your view, what sticks to the top of your head?
Well, obviously, I think one of them that we talk about for other countries looking around the world is that you should have these social protection programs, as we call them, in place like South Africa does, such that when events that really, in a way, come out of the blue, it's not like nobody ever thought of a global pandemic, but we hadn't had one for more than 100 years. So it wasn't something that we expected the next time around. But having these mechanisms in place to cushion these blows is really quite important. Then there's just sort of the general resilience of the economy. When you're looking forward in South Africa, there's even more need now. It's been a long time without really rapid economic growth, and so when you're looking to move forward beyond the COVID era, so you certain things are happening. You're going to want to have policies to try to get through the pandemic. But once you get to the other side, you're also going to want to put in place structural policies that are going to get the growth back that'll allow you to achieve the development goals that you have set for yourself.
Thank you so much, Dr. Channing Arndt, for giving us your time. He's the Director of Environment and Production Technology Division at the International Food Policy Research Institute, talking to us right here on Power Business about who has been hardest hit by South Africa's lockdown.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.